Hey!
This is JJ and Alex.
I made a name for myself, I told you I won't be denied.
As you wrap up your day, it's time to get your fix of the teams you live for and the sports you love. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Alex, you're on the clock.
Oh, I got to make my pick now. We were just saying that's like the sports version of the breaking news sounder, right?
It is.
It's the draft jingle. Can we use it technically, or will we get in trouble? I don't even know. At this point, I don't even know whose jingle. Like,
we'll use it until the cease and desist letter shows up in our mailbox. How about that?
You just made Nate, our boss, feel very excited.
This is the kind of stuff that happens on our show daily.
We'll wait for their lawyers.
How many rules can we break that Nate doesn't find out about?
The NFL probably doesn't even have any lawyers. I mean, they probably are just going on the fly. Got some guys on retainer.
They don't have the budget for
lawyers.
They
have Saul on retainer. It's fine. Welcome to the program. We've got tons going on. We've got an NFL draft, of course, that is right in our face. This thing is going to be just as big of a deal this year as it always is, but it's a big quarterback class, JJ, which means we take it even more seriously.
Yes.
If you've got the sexy quarterback situation all figured out.
Receivers, too.
Wideouts.
The receiver class is elite, and you could probably have five or six taken in the first round. We'll get into that. But this is a really fascinating, interesting draft, and it's a draft that, even from a local perspective, you know, all the guys that those of you listening have cheered for over the years, there's a long list of those guys. We're going to go through that. But there's also a long list of villains locally. Guys like Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze. And, you know, maybe I'm stretching there. Maybe Caleb Williams is the only villain.
We hate everybody. But, we'll hate everybody if we need to.
And, of course, Stevenson Sylvester is going to be with us
That's
for the
right.
entire
so
three-hour
fellas,
block.
What's going on?
Sly, you've been drafted.
Long time ago.
That's why we bring Sly in, because not only does he break all these players down, but Stevenson Sylvester of University of Utah fame, of Steelers fame, of fifth round draft choice fame?
Fifth round draft pick.
Okay.
Do you still remember the number?
Oh, yeah, 166.
Isn't that cool?
We got to get that embroidered on a shirt, man. We got to get that. We got to get the old 166. Here comes 166. Now, but that in your case, 166 was like, you were a little bit, I think we've had this discussion before, because you're like, people are telling you you could be as high as this. People are telling you, you know, maybe you're going to be one of these preferred free agents, right? What were you being told at this point before everything started up? Like, a couple days before the draft, you'd probably heard it all. You could go really high, you could go really low. Where were you at right now mentally a couple days before the draft in, what was that, 2010, I guess it would have been?
About to run my head through a wall. I had no idea what was going on. I wasn't getting good intel on anything. I haven't talked to one single team. Nobody communicated with me. My agent was absolutely horrible. Well, if you get... and draft a free agent, you know, we can pick a team at that. I'm like, bro, are you really talking to me like this right now? There's no optimism at all within his voice. And then, like, I get drafted, and he's like, hi, look, we did it. I'm like, what you mean?
Who's your agent? Martin Short?
His voice,
let's get him on the horn. Sly's agent's voice is my new favorite voice have on the program.
I mean, he's just a guy you wanted to punch, I tell you.
Oh, wow.
Now, as I'm just like, you're doing absolutely nothing for me this entire draft process.
You know why?
Didn't even tell me I had a combine invite.
Wow.
They had to call me. They're like, yo, you got to get your stuff in if you're going to combine. And I'm just like, invited? And
listen,
my agent was just trash.
We haven't even started the show officially yet. We got to start the show officially.
Oh.
Jeremy's like, now they choose to get going with the program. Yes, we have tons to jump into today. Our program is always brought to you by G2G Bars. All natural ingredients and no preservatives make the G2G Bar the perfect protein bar. And also today, special draft, pre-draft coverage by Manuel Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning. We're going to chat with Brian in just a little while today, but we're going to get you a deal, too. On top of the draft coverage stuff that we're going to be talking about, we're going to get you a deal if it comes to your heating and air conditioning, which, you know, a lot of people are clicking those systems on and off right now as you're getting ready for spring into summer. And that's what we're going to be doing. But let's kick the thing off as we always do. Let's jump in here with the cut right here at the top of the program.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right. Also, Trajan Wealth. Trajan Wealth, your sponsors of The Cut every day right here at this time. And my goodness, we got to have all these things to jump into. But like I said, having Sly here, part of the deal is to kind of understand a little bit. And we're going to break down all the local players. We're going to be getting into all that. JJ, the marquee part of a draft usually are those big, sexy names we like to throw out there. And there's a lot of them this year. Mm-hmm. When you talk about the quarterbacks, when you talk about the wide receivers, and there are just so many names. And now, of course, the defenders, finally your people, Sly, getting all the respect. I mean, the defensive linemen that are going to get paid in the next couple of days, these guys who have, you know, previously been, you think about in the decades past, we are not in that space anymore. The highest paid guys, it's not just your offensive tackles, it's your defensive tackles now. It's that edge rusher. That guy's become the most sexy position, it seems like, on some of these draft days. But the almighty quarterback. And in
That'll never change.
And when you have a guy that's as generational of a talent as Caleb Williams is, mm-hmm. everybody loves to talk about Caleb Williams. Is this the guy that does he jump off the sheet for you like he does for all the other draft experts who count him as basically being a surefire, a sure deal if he gets drafted to the Bears, which they think he's going to go to?
This is such a hard thing because of his arm talent, his ability. We talk about, you know, these prospects in high school and what's going to translate to the next level. And Caleb Williams does it all. He's very unconventional in the way that he goes about his business, what people hated about Patrick Mahomes but loves about him now. Caleb Williams was just – he's – what I love about him is his ability to play the football game, right? He's great. I just think he holds on to the ball too long, but most playmakers do. Any other than that, I think the other intangibles is the leadership, right? It's more than just your skills on the football field that are going to translate to success, right? It's can you bring guys together? Are people going to want to play with you? This is the biggest team sport in all of sports, right? You got 11 guys that have to be on the same page, the exact same page. 11 guys have to know all the same thing. And your quarterback is at the helm of that. He's translating all of that, and he's got to evoke confidence in every single one of those individuals. On the field, off the field, build that chemistry, build that repertoire between old veteran players in the league right now and new incoming guys in the league right now, and that is where has me cause for pause. I don't know if he has that capability.
Yeah, let me throw this your way, Sly, because we talk about, you know, the talent. And if you're rating these guys on talent, I mm-hmm. understand why they're ranked where they're at. Do you think, based on where they're projecting guys to go, that someone could be in a better position to be successful than Caleb Williams? And if so, who is that guy? Because I think Caleb Williams is generational, but he's going to the Chicago Bears. And the Chicago Bears have never had a good quarterback. I mean, maybe back in the 1930s, they have
like
a Hall
Rex
of Famer.
Grossman?
Like Jim McMahon was good, but he got hurt. He didn't play. He was right. He was only good for like 3 or 4 years.
You continue to disrespect Jay Cutler. Yeah, and I'm not going to put up with it.
Don't talk
anymore.
Crap on Jay.
As a Broncos fan, I have every right to disrespect Jay Cutler, that punk. I don't care.
Zach Wilson, he's like the new Jay Cutler of the Denver
That's
Broncos.
That's not a compliment. That's not a compliment.
Well, from a local standpoint, of course, we're extremely interested. Let's start off before we get into the breakdowns, because over the next couple of hours, we're going to be going over some of who these guys are, really in a deep dive. Count Chocula himself, Mel Kiper. He has his own draft rankings.
One, two.
We're this close. He puts the glasses on.
Oh, man.
He
I can just see him with a cape.
I know.
As soon as you said that.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Hotel Transylvania.
Mel Kiper and his draft rankings, of course, matter. Like, you know, you think of some of the draft, quote-unquote, experts, which we – It's a tough game to play because all these guys have whiffed and they've said, I told you that guy was going to be good.
Wow.
It's very much down the they've won and lost
it's
that
like
game.
It's like the gambler in Vegas. It's yes. like, I know I was going to win.
Yes. So from a local prospect standpoint, okay, mm-hmm. Let's go through some of these guys who are in the top 150, which is, of course, that's going to get you in on those first couple of days of the draft. So, of course, Jackson Powers Johnson. This is a name that didn't play here collegiately, but he does have that Corner Canyon background that everybody knows out of the center of out of Oregon. Jackson Powers Johnson. He's on the list at 57. You've got, of course, Kingsley Sumataia. Kingsley's that guy who people look at as a possible first-round talent. Cole Bishop at 61. He's on the list as a guy who could be so many different things for these teams. Jonah Ellis at 103. Let's start with some of those names we just threw out there. First, you talked about how Jackson Powers-Johnson, obviously if you are the center at Oregon and you're a really, really good Oregon team and your offense is insane and their offensive line was part of that, what does he bring to the table? And frankly, we knew how good he was in high school. I don't think we looked at him as being a first, second-round guy in the NFL, but that's where we're at now with him.
I absolutely love Jackson Powers-Johnson. One, he's funny. You know, we've seen a couple interviews of
Turd
this guy.
Turd Ferguson.
he's awesome. But more so, I just think he has complete control of that offensive line, and what you want was exactly what you want. He is an absolute beast when it comes down to the double teams and even manhandling guys, and he loves to finish the blocks. He loves pancakes. Throw that syrup all over it. This guy is all about it, but he's extremely strong because of how stout he is. And so in that interior alignment, you have to have contact. And if you're that strong in that short space, you're going to own that. And that's exactly who he is. We've seen tape. We broke down tape of him this past weekend of how he just moves guys with ease. He just gets them out of there, creates holes. Any running back and quarterback absolutely loves that. We were talking about it right before the show about how Bo Nix literally goes into fits when he's not in the game.
Right.
That's how you know you have a good offensive line.
That's your guy.
Right? That's your guy. And I think there's a lot of people like Ryan Jensen from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that kind of fits this mold of that leader on the O-line. And I think that Jackson Powers-Johnson is a guy that I would take in the first round.
No doubt about it. And I think everybody – Mel Kiper has him at 57 because it's actually a good center draft. There's good guys in front of him. He's the number 3 ranked center in the entire draft, but those guys could all go for round one. But another offensive lineman, Kingsley Suamataia, out of Orem High School and BYU, who was actually a teammate of Jackson Powers-Johnson for a brief time at Oregon. We look at him and you watch him in high school and then you saw him at BYU. Mm-hmm. What stands out to you about him? What are some of your why you think he's going to be successful or why you may have pause?
Well, I mean, this guy already has a veteran NFL body. And I think that's what these NFL scouts love. He's strong. He's big. He can move. We've seen this guy running all over the place. But, again, he's young. Very unpolished to me on film. I would take him more in the third or fourth round.
Really?
But if you're wanting to invest in, it's all dependent on what the team wants, right? If he's going to come behind, you know, a veteran old lineman that you know is kind of on their last leg and he can come in, develop under the first year, that's something you view investing in the future. He plays that left and right tackle, which is utmost important on that offensive line, right? And so he has the athletic ability to get out and run, right? Which you're seeing these old linemen do, the dancing bear so much. You love that. You love his ability to drop step and keep up with these athletic defensive linemen and defensive end and outside linebackers. So you love that projection, the possibility. But right now, today, he is not a starting guy in my eyes.
I think if you watch him and he reminds you of Penei Sewell, maybe it's because they're cousins.
And we talked about that. Right?
They keep showing.
There are similarities.
Video,
he does look a lot like him.
Every video that they put up, right? It's a split screen, and they're like, look at the numbers. And they'll show Kingsley Sumataia, and they'll show Penei Sewell. And you're like, hold the phone here, because that's a really, really tough place to get into for Kingsley, because
that's unfair to him.
Very
sure.
Unfair. I mean, Penei Sewell was and now has become a guaranteed, like, probable Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we looked
He's
at him
track.
Like, he has the possibility to be there. He's now multiple-time All-Pro. He's
in
now
just, what, his fourth year?
His fourth year, and he's, what, two-time All-Pro now already.
Yeah.
And just an absolute beast. And not only that, he was first-team All-Pro this year, for sure. Everybody knows
he's 23 years old.
He's the gold standard of the offensive tackle right now in the NFL. And so making that kind of comparison can be beneficial for you because people will go, oh, yeah, it's his cousin. Yeah, he's got the background. He's got the
pedigree, right? That's huge in the NFL.
Is it really? Like, really when they, like, that's crazy to me that they would put that much into it based off of just what your family background is. If you're a Watt, we're going to take you. If you're another Watt, we're going to take you.
If you're a Sewell, we're going to take you.
Yeah.
There's three of them in the NFL right now.
Yes.
Yeah, no. Pedigree is huge because it's just like, oh, just like your dad, just like your brother, just like this and that. Hmm. And there can be, there's that comparison that they can lean on. Everything's about storytelling. Right? Can I tell a great story, right? Yeah. What is one of the best stories with the Steelers over the last decade? Cam Hayward, Ironwood Hayward's son, right?
Yep.
That pedigree, that was huge. And so they made that work. I mean,
who's one of the top players in the draft? Marvin Harrison Jr.
Right. Like, and so we're seeing more and more of that, but I do know for a fact they talk about that a lot, and if they talk about it openly, you know they talk about it behind closed doors. So pedigree is huge. What school conference where you came from is huge. And so, there's a lot that goes into being a draft pick. You know, yeah, you had some good films, but people don't pay attention to your highlight tapes. Anybody's highlight tapes could look good. How is your body of work in a full game atmosphere, for a full season atmosphere, for a full career? And then outside, what is your character? Can your teammates build around you? Because those are things that they invest in. And, you know, you see some of the good organizations that invest in stuff like that and the bad organizations that don't.
I love finding out who those terrible franchises are. Some of them, it's an easy guess.
Yes.
Other ones, you're like, I did not know that people didn't like them that much. Let's keep going back with the highest rated prospects here that have ties to the state of Utah. Of course, Colt Bishop is next on that list. He's a guy on Mel Kiper's board at number 61. So very close between 57, 58, 61. But Colt Bishop obviously is the dog that you want on a defense. If you're in the NFL, what translates for Colt Bishop from what he did at Utah to the NFL? What do people love about him so much?
Well, I think Colt Bishop's biggest upside is his savviness, right? You get players that just can create and make things happen. And he's that type of guy, right? You know, you get guys like Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu, Eric Weddle. They have intangibles, but do they have the smarts, the savviness to just create because they know what's going on, to mess with quarterbacks, to just have a feel for the game and make plays? That's Colt Bishop. Colt Bishop has a great feel for the game. He has some things he can, of course, evolve to, but he will over time with experience and of course, other veteran leadership. But ultimately, his savviness is just where he just has great football intellect, and I think it puts him in the right position. And honestly, being high on Mel Kiper's board is actually surprising for me. I didn't know Mel Kiper liked Utah guys like this. But Colt Bishop, the skills that translate is more his athletic ability. We've seen what he did at the Combine. Absolutely blew everybody away. Him and Sione Vaque was top three in all safety position drills on everything. Colt Bishop, 4.440, absolutely awesome. You put on the tape, it translates. He can guard the nickel position where he can guard receivers in the slot. He can guard tight ends because he's a bigger body and strong and can hit people. He plays in the run game. He can rotate back to the post. He does everything that you want in a versatile defense, so it can translate. He can play that single high safety defense. He can play that dual high safety defense, quarters defense, cover two defense, man cover defense. He can play all of those. So his versatility and savviness is what translates to the NFL and why he's going to do so well.
You know, 61 on Kuiper's list, if that held true, that'd put him in the second round, which would be pretty amazing for Colt Bishop. One more guy on this top 50 list locally, number 103, Jonah Ellis. Mm. The latest mayor of Sac Lake City, who's now moving on. Now
this is where you had him at before the year even started, right?
No. Which is a great story, Sly. And, and we talked about it when we were previewing the season.
Yes.
I don't even know if that was a guy you thought, because technically he was second string. And for him to make that leap, of course, we have to bring up, before we dig into it, his pedigree. Again, his dad's Luther Ellis, an all-time great. He's got three brothers that are in the NFL.
Right.
Three! One of them's a starting defensive end for the Falcons and a sack machine. What do you expect from Jonah Ellis? at the next level. How much of what he did this past year at Utah is going to translate to the next level?
Well, we talked about it in the preview for this year. Is like, who needs to step up on the defensive end? That was the question. I was like, it's got to be Jonah Ellis. Yeah. He has the capabilities of being that explosive. And what he was able to do in the offseason to develop his game, to make him an All-American. And how many games did he play this year? Seven?
Yeah.
He only played seven games this year, 12 and a half sacks. Guy was an absolute beast, and it'll translate to the NFL. And so I think that, one, pedigree's huge. As we said, we understand that his brothers are already there making a mark. His dad was an absolute beast in the NFL. He's come from an NFL defense in Utah. Everything just points up to this guy being your guy. So that right there alone, I think, gives him some perks and some points, although he only played seven games, right? Because you have that questions of, can he last? Is he still injured? But his pedigree will go into it from where he came from with the Utah. Dad, brothers, all these things point up to Jonah Ellis is going to be a star in the NFL no matter where you put him. Our composition to Jonah Ellis was who? Koamisi, right?
Yeah.
Koamisi played straight defensive end for Utah and then translated men outside linebackers first couple years to middle linebacker and did amazing. I think that's exactly what Jonah Ellis is going to do. His athletic ability will have him be able to drop into coverage, but also on those loose downs where you got to get after the quarterback. It's third and seven, third and 12. You got to get these guys off the field. You put Jonah Ellis on the end of the line of scrimmage and no offensive lineman will keep up with him.
We're going to continue all day long to break down what this NFL draft is going to look like for us here. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then my favorite part is just I love to see when these teams pick up a guy in the sixth or seventh round, and then they pay way more guaranteed money to those guys that they pick up on Saturday that they're sneaking in. They're going, hey man, we got him. We're going to get him. We're going to pitch that guy.
That's the real stories right there.
It's an insane thing to watch. But young men's lives are going to change considerably. And even the high-pitched voice agents, their lives will also change quite a bit over the weekend.
You don't slide.
We're going to break all those down. So those are your top-rated players in Mel Kiper's NFL draft rankings. But we've got tons of guys still to talk about here locally, across different positions, across different schools. Of course, we'll break down some of the best and some of the biggest names from these teams that are going into the NFL draft all day long right here. We'll get some breakdown as well, not just from Sly, but experts across the country as well who do this for a living. So we'll break down some of that. We've got tons to jump into. I told you that our draft coverage today brought to you by Manuel Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning, and that's who we're going to be chatting with right now is Brian from Manuel. Brian, first of all, welcome to the All right, we'll take the break here. We'll come back. We got more to go around the corner. Sly is going to hang out with us all day. Let's break down all of your local players and where they could or could maybe not go in the draft. Coming up next, stay right here at 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the biggest name. You're locked into JJ and Alex. With the insight and analysis on the teams you can't live without. Presented by G2 Cheap Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back, everybody. It is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Curie, Jeremiah Jensen. And, of course, Stevenson Sylvester for a special edition of our program here as we bring you all the draft coverage you can handle, bro. We're making sure that you are set up and you can have if you want to show up at that water cooler on Thursday and Friday at the office and be like, I know what I'm talking about. You can get the breakdown from Sly like we're doing. We're just full-on cheating off of Sly in class right now. Like, he accidentally left his test open for me to see, and I'm just cheating right off of it. That's where we kind of – I feel like you do a little bit of that during the season, right, JJ?
All the time.
We all do.
No, I don't know anything. I just ask Sly questions.
That's why we lean on Sly.
People think I'm smart. But
we've been doing all season long the Hercules Hero of the Week, and you can nominate your youth sports volunteer that you know to be that Hercules Hero of the Week. How does it work? You submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contest. We listen – we roll these out every Thursday. You can listen on Thursday afternoons, and we'll roll out a winner every week on JJ and Alex, so you can help celebrate the efforts of people who are volunteers in your community, or even that coach that maybe floats under the radar without as much recognition as they should get. Let's hook them up. Let's make them the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union and Beehive Meals. They will absolutely hook them up with a prize that we do every week. It's been an awesome thing for us to be able to do. So kslsports.com/contest to nominate your youth sports volunteer of the week. All right. Let's talk a little bit about some of these locals. Let's shift over to BYU here, Sly. We'll, of course, do as many of these guys who have BYU ties and Utah ties and Utah State ties. All the locals, we'll try to get through everybody. But let's start with BYU since that one's right here. It's alphabetical. I will be told later tonight by somebody, of course, you started with BYU. That's your thing because you're such a homer.
Why are you guys only doing BYU draft? You only have one guy that's getting drafted.
I tuned in.
You guys know that Utah has more prospects.
And all you talked about was Cole Bishop. I thought you were a BYU guy. And I'll go, what? I can't win. We can't win.
No, you can't.
We do all of it. So here's where we are. Kingsley, we brought up already, right? And that's a guy who has a lot of expectations on his shoulder. It's a guy who also underperformed, according to a lot of fans, you know? And frankly, there were times last year where we looked at it and we went, I mean, you're not going to write home about the running game for BYU. You're not going to try to put that on a pedestal for the GMs when you're sitting down in those meetings. They might ask about it. What was wrong with last year? What was the problem last year? But a guy like Kingsley, he still is going to be a second, third-round guy for a lot of folks. I think you said third or fourth maybe, too. Might be in that
category. That's what I chose. But, right. I mean,
that's where he kind of is graded out.
You get on draft day, nobody knows what the heck is
right.
going
that
on.
That 2-4 range is probably good. Somebody might, if they love him, might hit him at the end of the first. I've seen him as high. But
yeah.
He's in that 2-4 range. And
right.
Once you get past the first-round prospects, then you're right, Sly. It's like, who likes who?
Right.
And then that's why some guys drop to four, and you're like, why? Well, it just works out that way. No big deal, right?
This is when I start to kind of go, what's going on here? I need the explanation because Keaton Slovis got invited to the combine. He's a guy that on the quarterback's list, he's ranked as number 10 in that position by Mel Kiper. To give you like some context.
There's a lot of good quarterbacks this year.
Right. And Kingsley, for example, is the ninth best tackle according to that list. A guy like Sione Vaki's the 18th best running back, as it's listed here on his rankings as well. And yes, I did say running backs, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But Keaton Slovis is one of those guys that it wasn't just the injuries. He lost his gig. He lost his job and obviously fell off a lot after that freshman year. Some of these 4- and 5-star guys, the 4- and 5-star rating is really based off of what they could do in the NFL. And sometimes that ranking, that 4- and 5-star
carries.
It really does. And so why would a guy like Keaton Slovis still get that respect and still get that love? And will he be able to find a place in the NFL and maybe even have a little bit of success?
That's why I say it all the time. Like, you guys talk about experts and this and that. Like, Sly knows what you talk about. I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. You know, I mean,
we'll be right back, everybody, with our non-draft expert, no, Sly.
NHL coverage next on JJ and Alex.
But honestly, this stuff doesn't make sense. I used to hear what these guys drafted on, and I'm just like, what, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you think that would translate to him being good?
Sure.
So it's just like, on that day, what do they want to choose from, right? And quarterback is also an awkward position, right? There's only 32 teams in the league, right? So, yeah, if the top 7 teams that needed quarterbacks are taken and there's 10 quarterbacks, those 3 other quarterbacks probably not going to take until late. So, yeah, it's the number 10 quarterback. But how many teams need a quarterback, right? Yep. And so there's that. For me, I do agree with you. I do think your 4-star high school tape translates over. Where you have been, as I said, pedigree, right, is huge. But also, where'd you come from?
Right.
Right? So Keaton Slovis, USC, you know, Pitt, now BYU. Those things carry. He's only spent a year at BYU, but they're just like, USC's on his resume. So, of course, who's Matt Castle, right? Big backup for USC. Didn't play it down and got drafted.
Yeah, played for the Patriots. Yeah. Backed up Tom Brady.
For a long time.
For a long time. And he didn't play it down in college. But what was on his resume? I went to USC.
Right.
And so all of that stuff carries over. And what makes people make these decisions, I have no idea. I base mine off of what I see on the field and what a team actually needs and what would translate over.
So for Slovis, Sly, the arm strength, we talked about this on KSL Sports Live.
Right.
Another plug there. Sly's been doing draft previews the last 2 months. and we did Keaton Slovis, and 2 things really stood out. One was the arm strength. He makes all the throws that an NFL quarterback needs to make, but sometimes those throws are to the wrong team, probably too many times, right? Is that really the essence of Keaton Slovis?
Yeah, inconsistency.
Yeah.
And at the quarterback position, especially at the highest level, you can't have inconsistency. I mean, you're going to throw some bad passes here and there, But more often than not, you got to be right. And Keaton Slovis is not right more often than not.
Right.
And so that's why his draft stock to me would be down.
Specialist Ryan Rico, cannon for a leg. We don't often see punters get taken, but if there is like a specialist that gets taken, it's not necessarily those the place kickers like you might think, because they might add points. Kickers are such a massive deal. They're as big of a defender on the field for these head coaches as anybody. A guy like Ryan Rico, he's also one of those dudes who could be taken. I mean, a lot of times, like I said, if teams are really put up against it, they won't take a punter third or fourth round or fifth or sixth round even. But Ryan Rico's got the type of leg that is draft quality leg.
Yeah, which actually sucks nowadays because the rules ever changing. You know, it's like you're taking special teams out of the game pretty much. And so I don't know what the punting rules and all this other stuff will be in the next few years. Rico does have a big leg. We talked about it with Mitch Wisnowski, right? He's having a terrific career over there in San Francisco. If you can place the ball in good positions, you can get it out of the back of your end zone, right? Some of the best punters, you could be backed up to the one or two yard line, and some punter could take a one step drop and punt it out 50, 60 yards, right? Those are the punters you want to invest in. And especially if you can pinpoint it, especially sky territory. Jeremiah, we talk about it all the time, right? Field position.
Yep.
Field position matters. If you can pin your opposing team inside their 5 yard line consistently, then you can play that field position battle, right? You have a good defense. They're going to punt the football, and you make that yardage your offense has to gain shorter and shorter every time they get the ball. They're going to get into the end zone when you have these tight games. So these specialists definitely have a great, great place in this game, and it makes a lot of sense to get a good one that you can invest in, because just like Mitch Wisnowski, you get a good punter, you're not going to have to draft another one for a while.
Yeah, Mitch Wisnowski was a fourth-round pick 5 years ago. And, guys, and we talk about BYU's list, not a lot of these guys are going to get drafted.
No.
There's some good players here, but Ryan Rico might be. Another reason why he could be drafted is because you can tell how much he's valued, because he was at the NFL Combine. Right. I think there were only three punters total at the NFL Combine. He was one of them.
He's that big leg. He's a tall dude, too. If you've ever stood next to Ryan, he's 6'6". He's a big guy. They like that big body.
And he's well-built. I mean, he looks like an athlete.
Yes, yes. And so another guy who could potentially be picked in the draft, in the traditional rounds, Isaac Rex, the tight end for BYU, is a guy who's been through quite a bit, right? Obviously, Isaac Rex is a guy who has had ups and downs in his career as at the tight end position for BYU. That's a position group that is getting an overhaul. They let their coach go.
Right.
It's one of these. He's one of those names. Again, pedigree matters, right? His dad was a really, really good tight end also for BYU. But I want to know if a guy like Isaac Rex, if that translates after everything, if he could find himself on a team in the league, or just kind of one of those guys who might get a shot at a practice squad, and that might be about it.
No, I mean, I tell people all this. You're the author of your own story, right? You know, don't let somebody else create your story for you. There's so many undrafted free agents that's had terrific careers. I definitely think Isaac Rex is an undrafted free agent simply because of his speed. He is not fast. But the guy has amazing hands. And we've seen, honestly, I've played on a team with Heath Miller, Hines Ward. These guys are not blazing speed.
Right.
They are not running by you. I'm like, we're at practice, and I'm like, bro, run. Like, what are you doing?
We should call up Hines Ward, see what he says.
But here's my thing is, they were so savvy, right? And they get into those open spaces. They understand what coverages are doing. They understand, like, I get 6 catches a game, I'm winning, right? That's out of 60 plays. And those 6 catches can be anything, right? Isaac Rex is a big possession guy. How important is possession around the red zone, right? You don't need people to outrun people on the red zone. No. You need possession. Does he have reliable hands no matter where I put the ball? That's Isaac Rex. You can put the ball anywhere. This guy's going to catch it. Absolutely awesome. He's a nice big body. He's getting body up in basketball turn and rebound, box out, whatever you want to call it, down on the goal line, fit that ball in there, and he's going to catch that football. That's a possession guy that you can rely on. That gives him opportunity. That is something that, as a team, I would want to take a risk on.
There's a former BYU tight end that's going to be selected ahead of Isaac Rex.
Ooh, yeah.
And it's Dallin Holker.
Mm.
Things did not end the way he wanted or they wanted at BYU. He transfers to Colorado State. He has a monster year last year.
I would just say that game against Colorado was
exactly
just, that game on the national spotlight is exactly what you're talking about.
He was the only thing that kept him in the game, right? I mean, that's
between
where
that and catching
a
ball one handed with a ball in your other hand at the combine. Like, that's the image I remember.
Storytelling, right?
It's like, okay, like all the NFL guys are gonna be, whoa. That was one of those plays like, okay, this guy
has
hands.
That happens a lot more in the real game nowadays too.
Yeah.
You see a lot more
two footballs at the same time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, Dallin Holker's a guy that I think BYU fans do kind of kick themselves over how that whole thing was handled.
Yeah.
And it's not fun to see somebody else go somewhere else and be successful, but he's going to be likely a pretty big pickup. I mean, he's the more athletic tight end version of what we're seeing in the NFL these days. And that's a premium for these teams, too.
Yeah, Dallin Holker's great, man. You put on the tape, this guy's making catch after catch, just like we've seen in that Colorado game and at the Combine. He is that guy. And, you know, he has a good background, right? He makes plays. He hasn't been on the greatest teams that'll translate. A lot of teams in the NFL are going to be like, if he's on our team, we're going to make that happen.
Right.
He's a very Kittle-esque type of tight end for me. You know, he could play that flex position where he's not that handout. We broke it down last year with Dalton Kincaid of the hand down, the inline tight end is what we call it, the Y tight end. And then you have your flex tight end, the one who's always off the ball, in motion, can be your lead blocker in the running game, but also create one-on-one matchups with smaller defenders or linebackers in the passing game. And Dallin Holker's that guy, crossing routes all day. He's a one-on-one guy. You could put Dallin Holker at the X position, and he'll make that happen. And so
number 10 ranked tight end on Mel Kiper's list. That's draftable
range.
Sure.
And out of a school that never has a lot of talent, Lehigh High School. Am I pronouncing that right?
Shout out Ed Larson.
There's a factory going on.
Oh my gosh. Ed Larson is absolutely crazy. Ed Larson's now going to start having NFL guys every year from that Lehigh
program.
Awesome.
All right, we'll take another break. We'll come back. We've got more to break down. We have our Would You Rather around the corner. We're going to throw out some scenarios, and we're going to make Sly answer them for us. It's not to say would you rather hypothetical. We're going to make Sly kind of put it in stone here. Which one you would rather be, which situation, and why. All right. We'll stay right here. More to go. 97.5 VKSL Sports Zone.
Listen, everybody.
Real-life hypotheticals to get your brain churning. As JJ and Alex ask, would you rather?
All right. Would you rather? It's an NFL draft preview show edition of Would You Rather here on the program. Brought to you by our Win Ticket Wednesdays. Big one tomorrow, JJ. I love how JJ doesn't say anything anymore now that we bring up bands.
I'm going to get in trouble because
I can't.
We're going to lose our sponsor.
We're not asking you to endorse any of these groups.
I have opinions on music. I
know
share
you
them.
Do. And that's why we love you.
This is an opinion-driven show.
That's why we love you. Each Wednesday on our, not just on our show, but all across the KSL Sports Zone, you can win tickets on your Win Ticket Wednesdays. This week, it's going to be Aerosmith at Delta Center on November 27th. Is Steven Tyler still with us?
I'm
just kidding. He
again.
Is.
Alex keeps the streak alive. He just killed Steven. Yeah, you just killed Steven Tyler.
Steven Tyler's PJs.
Aerosmith's one of the greatest rock bands of all time. Not in 2024. Sorry.
Whatever, dude.
Enjoy the show, though. And how many of the guys are still together? Who's still in Aerosmith?
Yeah. Is Slash still in Aerosmith?
We got to move on. That's blasphemous.
You know who the best?
Of course, Aerosmith. Slash has probably played for every rock band that we can think of, right?
No, the best members of Aerosmith of all time, Steven Tyler's up there, but Liv Tyler and Alicia, what's her name?
Alicia Silverstone.
Alicia Silverstone in the Crazy video. That was definitely one of those.
That's definitely classic. And if you've ever been to a slow dance in high school, you know that song.
Absolutely. All right. Sly, I'll give you a scenario. You give me a would you rather. If you're Sione Vaki, would you rather play running back or safety in the NFL? We had this discussion a little bit before the show.
Mm-hmm.
So Mel Kiper has him put down as a running back. And that might be what teams are asking him to be, maybe. I mean, that's what the future is. Don't be Sione, I guess, for the moment, but a running back or a safety in the 2024 NFL?
Running back.
You guys, man, just because you're on defense and you wanted to score those touchdowns. What is it?
I don't want, if I'm a defense guy, I don't want them to score touchdowns.
So what's the deal now? Because running back seems like it's like a less sexy thing nowadays. Come
what?
On. What? Oh, listen.
Scoring touchdowns is less sexy?
You know that the running back image in the NFL is not what it used to be.
Look what Sione Vaki's brand did when he switched to running back.
That's a great point.
That's the college game, though,
that's
man.
That's a great
college
point.
And it's because of the novelty of switching positions.
That's a great point.
He was a great safety before he
became a college star when he switched.
He was a star when he freaking took off and running. And he made that bad cut to USC. Like, everybody was raving. His brand, his personal brand, took off when he started playing offense. And they're like, oh, he plays both ways. That's great. But what he does on the offensive side of the ball, Sione Vaki. You do running backs simply for this fact. Yes, I do think he's an NFL caliber safety. He can play defense. But there's a lot more of them than what he can do on the offensive side of the ball. There is not as many people that can do what Sione Vaki can do on the offensive side of the ball than there are a safety position.
All right.
And so that's where it's a numbers game. Where can I most succeed? Where Taysom gets, 12 plays a game, and he's a well-known name.
Yeah.
Right? How many safeties get more than 12 plays and you don't know them?
All right.
I mean, Marcus Williams is one of the best safeties in the NFL from Utah, but, you know, nationally no one's talking about Marcus Williams because he's a safety.
Right.
It's just not a high-profile
Less
position.
Less sexy? Come on, Alex.
Listen, you guys, okay, there's a reason that their pay scale has slid off the face of the planet.
Their shelf life is smaller. They're not getting as much money as they used to because they're not getting as many touches.
Here's my thing. You're saying running back. Is he your RB1?
Well, no. No, not right now.
He's not your 20 to 30 play rushes a game. He's
fine.
Not that guy.
Fine. All right.
He is your gadget guy you put in. That shelf life is higher.
Priority free agent or a 7th round pick?
Oh, free agent.
Yeah.
You get to pick where you get to go.
Oh, yeah.
There's no money associated with that 7th round.
The person that made the 7th round pick look good is
Brock Purdy.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Mr. Irrelevant.
There you go. I've seen so many free agents that made it happen, right? Because they—
You just mentioned Taysom Hill.
Right. They chose where they wanted to go, saw an opportunity, and they made it happen. If you're getting chosen in the 6th, 7th round, you're not choosing where you want to go.
Okay. Let's take another break. Before we do, though, our NFL draft preview show is brought to you by Manuel Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Brian's been joining us in the studio today. Brian, we've got a deal. Well, first of all, Manuel is not a brand new company either. You guys have been in Salt Lake City for more than 100 years. It's a name that I think a lot of people recognize, but I want our listeners to start to get to know you guys a little bit more. Yeah. There's a lot of history to Manuel and what you guys have been doing here in the Valley, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're... 4 generations in, my great-grandfather started the company in 1920. That's when we incorporated, but he was doing it a little bit before that. So, yeah, we're 4 generations in. It's 104 years this year.
We talk about maintenance. We did that in the last segment. If you're not doing maintenance, how much is it going to cost on average to fix an AC unit?
To fix an air conditioner, an average cost is going to be around $200 to $300. It really depends on what the problem is, though. As we mentioned earlier, you know, there's that extreme repair. It could be pretty high, but really they're not that high that often. That's pretty steep.
So how does the maintenance part of it help you avoid that? What is it? Why? How? And how often should that maintenance be done?
So the manufacturers recommend the maintenance be done once a year, and we support that. It's really a good opportunity for our guys to get out there, like I said earlier, gauge up to the system and really see how that air conditioner is performing. We can prevent a lot of problems early in the spring, and now's the best time to do that.
We got to hear Sly's mic here. Sly's got a question for Brian here.
Yeah, how old is your air conditioner? So if somebody moves into a new house, would they need to be like, oh, I need to pay attention to it, or how old should you pay attention to your air conditioner?
Yeah, really, you should pay attention to it every year. You know, getting that tune-up done is just going to prolong that life. But on an average life expectancy, we're about 16 to 18 years here in the Valley. That's pretty common in our area.
Mm-hmm. You've got a deal.
We do.
And the good news about Brian coming in is that people want to be able to save some money. This is a good day to do it.
It is.
A lot of people are clicking on that AC maybe for the first time, And then they do what a lot of folks do. They cross their fingers and go, don't be a problem for me. Just keep pumping out of that cold air. But it's not a huck and pray situation. So yeah. If somebody wants to get their system looked at, you guys have a spring tune-up that's going on right now. Normally $129. What are people going to be able to do today if they hear it on the KSL Sports Zone?
You're going to save overall about $100. So the spring tune-up special is $89. It's normally $129. And then for the special for the show, we're actually going to come out and clean that condenser coil at the same time, which that's usually, you know, about $50 cost that you're going to save on that today. So that's where that $100 comes from.
So it's a couple of things that you guys are going to look at. You're going to be able to look at the system and not just do the tune-up, but also go outside, clean that condenser coil, make sure that everything's up to date. And so then when that manual technician goes away from the house, you go, we're set for this year. We're feeling good about this.
Absolutely.
So let's get some people calling in. Let's get them on the books. 801-262-4671. That's 801-262-4671. Manwill.net is the website. But just get the phone number. You heard it on the KSL Sports Zone today. You get all that money off of the spring tune-up on top of them being able to show you that, well, one, they've been doing it for 100-plus years, and there's a reason they're one of the best in the Valley. 801-262-4671. That's 801-262-4671. Ask for that spring tune-up special that we're doing today only. All right, Brian, thanks for your help, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
Let's take another break. We'll come back. We got more to go around the corner. Luke Easterling going to join us from Athlon. He is our draft specialist. He will break it all down here for us. Many other questions from the bigger national side of things. We're going to ask Luke next. So stay right here, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.